Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to The Hour of the Time with your host here, Doyle Shamley, in Eager, Arizona. Tonight being Wednesday, the 30th of June, 2010. And I want to thank all of you for tuning in. And tonight we're going to continue on with our series, getting close to wrapping it up, possibly tonight. I didn't really count to see how many little data lines or bullet points I had left to cover in this, but it may wrap up tonight. But nonetheless, this is part 7 in our series, If an Agent Comes Knocking. Now, I hope you have heeded this information and taken very detailed notes, ladies and gentlemen, because you're going to need it, trust me, okay? Now, first, the contact information. If you'd like to write the Hour of the Time, you may do so by writing Hour of the Time or HOT, H-O-T-T, P.O. Box 940, Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, Arizona, 85925. Again, that's Hour of the Time, P.O. Box 940, Eager, Arizona, 85925. The website, hourofthetime.com, that's hourofthetime.com. The studio number in Arizona, 928-333-2942. 928-333-2942, and the studio in Canada, 613-733-4324, 613-733-4324. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we are coming close. I've just gotten word last night. We're coming very close to some new DVD releases, and as soon as those are available, we'll announce those here on the broadcast as well as on the website. So these will be really cool. Another batch coming out from the Hour of the Time, and not available anywhere else, at least until the scumbag little socialist pirates get hold of it. At least until then, at least, they'll be available from the Hour of the Time only. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we are listener-supported, and through your support is how we maintain our presence on the airwaves and on our website and internet in general, and also our traveling and speaking engagements, etc. Right now, the bulk of the speaking, and I mean high majority of the bulk of the speaking cost, are paid for by myself, me, and that is going to quit. So also at the same time, we just got another offer this morning for another shortwave network that wants to carry our program every night. So this is two very good frequencies at two very good primetime slots that could put us out there 7 evenings a week at the best times, actually, for listenership, all 7 nights, Monday through Friday on both, then just one of them Saturday and Sunday as well. I have no problem with the extra duties that they will incur, but we need your help to do that, ladies and gentlemen. And again, we're listener supported. Go to the website, hourofthetime.com, and go to the Hot Shop. And there you'll find hundreds and hundreds of MP3 broadcasts available, collections and topical series of MP3 bundles, if you will, PDF libraries available, also DVD presentations. A very good and important one would be to the emergency first aid DVD. A very good hands-on skill that everybody should have. The by-the-book military courses as top before troops go into combat, covering everything from fractures and sprains to laser and chemical burns and plain old heat burns, of course, shock, major bleeding, minor bleeding, head injuries. So it's a very good DVD, all visuals, chaptered, of course, by each course. So once you watch it in order and thoroughly, then you can go back and refresh yourself by going to the chapter for a given class after you've watched it in order a few times if need be. It's a skill you can use every day, and it's solution-oriented programming, ladies and gentlemen. That's what Hour of the Time is about. We aren't infotainment. We have the opportunity to have hundreds of commercials if we want. People are contacting me all the time and always have, and we turn them all down. I'm not going to have a bunch of rip-off overpriced coins. We've given you the tools as far as programming and written articles both on how to invest in junk silver, numismatics, whatever your choice is, and where to go get them at a real price and real value, not overpriced. We've taught you herbs in conferences and on the air and formulae and cures and maintenance and health and where to get them. So we don't need to have advertisers that are ripping you off like most of the infotainment industry out there. So if you want to maintain the commercial fee programming, the solution-oriented programming, and our expansion onto those new venues, then we need your support. And another great way, besides the multiple DVDs out that are available or MP3s and collections, is the Hot Club. And go to the website, hourofthetime.com, and go to the Hot Shop. And the Hot Club page gives you the details, but the, in a nutshell, is at the end of the month, we ship you every MP3 one-hour broadcast from all the Monday through Fridays for the whole month, primetime slots. So you get all those, an average of 21 hours of MP3 programming on the disc and the research offers that we did on the air during the primetime slots only. It's the only time they're available throughout the month. And any other documents that were critical or mentioned in the programming as well. So it is a healthy chunk of research in reading format as well as 20 plus, on average, 21 hours a month of MP3s. So that for your $40 a month donation, that's a great deal, ladies and gentlemen. And it's a great way for us to plan future endeavors and our budgetary constraints and outlines here. It's like any other operations. There's phone, there's water, power, paper, ink, gas. All those items are involved, just like anything else you may do, maybe as your job out there. And if you don't have customers, maybe in your case, at a store you work at or something, you're not going to have a job, are you? And your store certainly isn't going to expand and thrive and keep putting out a product. Well, we can't either, ladies and gentlemen, so keep that in mind. And tonight, as we try to do as often as possible, almost every night, in fact, our special thank you tonight and tonight only, the 30th of June, 2010, Wednesday, our special research offer for you tuning in to this live and new broadcast is a PDF entitled Bankruptcy. Now, I have literally thousands of books in my library, my personal library. This isn't Bill's library. This is mine. And I got a massive amount of them right from several of the wonderful early researchers like Alan Stang. Excuse me. I got the sniffles or whatever tonight. Gary Allen, Alan Stang, many of these early people. I got some of the old, old first writings from Mr. Griffin, way before he became famous with his Creature of Jekyll Island symposium. So what I'm doing is to catalog many of these old works. A wonderful volunteer staff person, Scott, has been getting these digitized for me, scanning them on good high resolution. Tonight's work, Bankruptcy, by Gary Allen, talks about the plans of the insiders and the global elite to, actually, it's a conspiracy against our economy. And he outlines this, starting with old works, passages, acts, years, dates, and also predictions for down the road. And I think you'll find it very telling, his research, which is great because you go back and go look up these old books and events and times and speeches. But if you look at the timeline and what happened and who was involved, and you consider this was written in 1974, it is an amazing work, ladies and gentlemen. 1974. Simply email me tonight and tonight only, Wednesday, the 30th of June, 2010. Email me personally at hourofthetime@hotmail.com to get that, and just reference bankruptcy, and I will shoot that off to you. In fact, it's rather large, so I'm going to send you a link to download it, actually. So keep that in mind, and I would suggest partaking in that because you won't find a lot of these old books that I have in my collection anywhere. So that's why I'm trying to get them all preserved in a digital format so they can be more easily shared, because anything could happen at any time, and I'd hate to lose my entire library because of a fire or something. So bankruptcy, that's tonight's offer. Just reference that in your email to me personally, an hour of the time at hotmail.com. Now, tonight again, part 7 in our series, If an Agent Comes Knocking, and be sure to take a studious notes on this topic. And we'll do a brief recap into grand juries, the different types of subpoenas, the tools that are used, and then move on forward to some more helpful hints on how you can deal with grand jury subpoenas, summons, how to quash them, etc. Right after this musical break. Ladies and gentlemen, again, your host here, Doyle Shamley, in Eager, Arizona, with the Hour of the Time. Tonight, part 7 in our broadcast series of An Agent Comes Knocking. And don't forget, tonight's live, on-the-air free offer, tonight only, is bankruptcy, the PDF. Just reference that by emailing me directly at hourthetime@hotmail.com, and I hope you read it. Consider the research behind it, who's involved, and when it was written. It's a very powerful piece, ladies and gentlemen. Now, a brief recap into the previous broadcasts. Last night's part 6 in this series. A grand jury gathers information on people, okay, by issuing subpoenas. And grand juries that are nowadays rigged by a prosecutor, handpicked by a prosecutor. Witnesses can't have a lawyer present or counsel present while they're being questioned. The charges read to the jury by the prosecutor. So hence, it is a tool of witch hunts, essentially, often by the state, if you will, if that's what you want to term it. But agencies and private organizations, etc., non-government organizations, spooks, if you will, can all use these tools to coerce you into damaging yourself and others around you. You need to know how to react. Now, there was two types, if you will, of subpoenas, and that is the subpoena ad testificandum, and that is testifying. These are Latin terms, okay? That orders you, if you get one and you're going to comply, to appear and give testimony. Now, the subpoena ducis means, in Latin, bring it with you. And that also then wants you to bring certain documents as well. And that's why I can't stress to you enough that to protect yourself and those around you in your organization or your group or whatever it is or your place of work, whatever, that you have a detailed, in writing right now, policy for all of your data retention, your records retention, and deletion and destruction. I openly right now tell you I do it multiple times a day. Not a week, a day. Okay? So I don't keep them around. So, in other words, if next week I got a subpoena ducis from some grand jury wanting to bring me to bring records of orders I filled because they wanted to basically just get names of people and addresses and phone numbers to gather up to harass those of you who support us. I can't provide them next week. I can tell you that right now because they're destroyed. So it's that easy. Just like when someone just writes a letter as well. After it's done, it's done. Okay? So, and we also covered, you basically have three routes you can go. You can comply with the subpoena. That's one. You can move to quash the subpoena. Or you can just simply refuse to comply. And we covered some of the intricacies and details there. But no matter what, if you're not an expert on the grand jury system, and I don't mean how it's constitutionally supposed to be run, I mean how it's used right now today, you have to know both. That's what we're covering. How it's used against you is basically a tool of an agency is for witch hunts against people, often politically motivated witch hunts, in fact, with almost 100% conviction, right, because of how it is rigged. So you need to understand that as well as the true constitutional foundations and how they're supposed to be ran. If you don't fully have a 100% grasp on that topic, then you need to make a decision now that you're going to seek an attorney, a lawyer, myself. I would use counsel, but that's even if I did. I probably wouldn't at all. But if I was, I wouldn't be looking for an attorney or lawyer. I would use counsel. But that's up to you and your organization and group. Maybe you've already got someone on retainer, which is great. If they do your legal matters, and that is in writing again, like your data retention and deletion and destruction policies, if all that's in writing already, that person who is on retainer as your legal counsel can't be used to testify against you either. Because they're going to have good inside knowledge as far as maybe just who's at the meetings, who's on the board, etc., for whatever you're doing. So these are all just key hints. Now, and tips for you to protect yourself, okay? Now, again, I want to talk about that quashing, because that's so important, okay? You can challenge a subpoena in a court just by simply making a motion to quash the subpoena itself, okay? It means that a court declares it null and void, and they will only grant a motion to quash if there is sufficient legal basis, okay? Now, some of the biggest categories are misidentification, a protected privilege, an unlawful basis for the proceedings, and the most common reason for a subpoena being quashed is, guess what? Lack of jurisdiction. That's a fact, ladies and gentlemen, in the court system. Okay? Now, even if you can't successfully quash the subpoena, litigating a motion to quash it in court can buy you time while you get organized. Okay? Which can be very helpful. Okay? Now, whatever route you go, and that I'm saying lawyer, counsel, attorney, whatever, it's a good idea to have a lot of these details worked out in advance. How are you or your members or group going to deal with a subpoena? Know that right now. Maybe even have that in your policy statements, your SOP, standard operating procedures, if you will. Now, then we talked about what happens through compliance, the dangers and pitfalls, and let's recover or rehash again some of the points about what if you don't want to comply, okay? What if you don't want to comply with a grand jury and a subpoena? What does it do? Okay, now you've moved to quash it, it didn't happen. Okay, you can go in there. Now, if you refuse by pleading the Fifth, your Fifth Amendment protections, okay, to the lawyer, that's the prosecutor, that is, that's arranged this witch hunt, which they typically are, and they're asking you questions, and you say, I'm pleading the Fifth, I'm not answering, they can go to a judge and try to get you immunity. And what that means is, theoretically, nothing you say in that questioning will be used against you, or the witness is a better way to say it, just whoever this witness is, okay? And that is a grant of immunity, okay? Now, a witness that's brought before a judge who has received a request from that prosecutor virtually always grants the immunity. Now, at that point, if you refuse to answer questions, still, after being granted immunity, they'll probably, almost for sure, bring you back. If they're that ardent in questioning you, they're going to bring you back in front of the judge again. They'll order you, the judge will, to testify. And at that point, if you still don't, the judge will probably jail you for civil contempt. Okay? Also, we discussed right at the end of the last broadcast, another good point to remember is the physical exemplars. And that is the samples of handwriting, the hair, the appearance in a lineup, or documents, okay, upon the request of a grand jury. And if you don't provide those, you could be also jailed for civil contempt. And that would be a subpoena ducis, okay? Now, why civil contempt is not a crime, it can result in the witness, possibly you, or some member of your group, being jailed for the entire duration of the grand jury. They can last 18 months, okay? Now, special grand juries, here's a caveat again, can also, special is loosely defined, mind you, can also get up to 3 more extensions of 6 months each. So you could be looking at 36 months in jail, okay? Now, the purpose, theoretically, of incarcerating a recalcitrant witness is to coerce him or her, you, whatever, to testify. Judges have, though, been known to free witnesses before the expiration of the jury if it's clear that there's no chance the witness is going to testify. So, it's your gamble, your choice, for your set of circumstances. And that's why you need to always be alert and aware of your surroundings. That's all your surroundings, ladies and gentlemen. Now, another charge that agencies can use on you, the government, if you will, can be a charge of criminal contempt. Now, we talked about civil earlier. That can be criminal contempt, and that's typically just because you're an uncooperative grand jury witness, okay? Now, criminal contempt, by the way, carries no maximum penalty. The sentence depends entirely upon the judge's discretion. So if you, at some point, after a question, went out to see your counsel, come in. Another question, go out to see your counsel, come in. Another question, go out to see your counsel, come in. Because you can't have counsel or lawyer or attorney outside the questioning room, and oftentimes go out after every single question, if not after small groups of questions, and consult. Typically, though, it's after every question. And you keep pleading your Fifth Amendment right to non-self-incrimination. Now, at some point, if you decide, your lawyer, attorney, counsel, whatever, advise you to go ahead and tell them why you don't want to comply, the judge can be fairly lenient. It might be a legitimate reason why they are going to allow you not to comply, and it's done, okay? But again, if they want to hit you with criminal contempt after all of this, okay, remember, no maximum penalty, completely up to the judge's discretion. So if at some point you come in and say, look, here is why I really feel, for the very safety and security of my life and family, and for the general welfare, whatever your reasons are, I can't answer any of this. It can go one way. Now, if you come in and tell, oh, let's say it's a female judge, and you come in and say, you know what, you're nothing but a bull dyke like Keegan, and I can't stand you, and you look like the whore of Babylon. Well, she's probably going to be a little harder on you. And remember, no maximum penalty. So you need to have all of this and your strategies worked out ahead of time the best as possible before you're suddenly hit with this, blindsided, okay? Now, again, civil contempt is meant to coerce, as they call it, a witness to testify. Criminal contempt is simply meant to punish a witness for so-called impeding the legal process, okay? And as with any other crime, criminal contempt requires notice of the charges, the right to receive assistance of counsel, which is best, or attorney, lawyer, whatever, and proof beyond a reasonable doubt. And actually, charges of criminal contempt are extremely rare, ladies and gentlemen, just so you know. Now, if you are jailed, you can periodically file a motion stating that jail will not coerce you into testifying. Your confinement is merely punitive and therefore unconstitutional. If you win one of these motions, you will be released. So again, if you are jailed, you can periodically file a motion stating that, one, jail is not going to coerce you into testifying, and two, your confinement is merely punitive and therefore unconstitutional. If you win on any one of these motions, you will be released. Okay? Now, some groups and organizations and individuals out there create files so they're prepared for being called before a grand jury. Okay? A file, for instance, that memorializes, openly makes notice of, like I told you earlier, my data retention and record retention and destruction policy. It's totally known. I don't care. I don't hide it. But it could be a file that memorializes your stalwart belief against cooperating with grand jury proceedings. Okay? And it could be used as evidence that civil contempt will not work to coerce you and thereby help you win release, if all of that is already part of your operating procedures, your bylaws, whatever you have, your group's constitution, whatever. So again, you could have it quite well known that you have a stalwart, all you and your members and officers, belief against cooperating with grand jury proceedings. And that could be good evidence against civil contempt charges that are filed against you, that civil contempt will not work to coerce you and thereby help you win your release. Okay? Now, what takes place again in a grand jury is secret. all ran and ramrodded by a agency government prosecutor. Okay? Now, the government really does, and agencies rely on this secrecy to create fear and distrust amongst people out here in society. That's a fact. Now, some people have to help dispel that fear in a certain area. Let's say their activism is into neighborhood watch groups or whatever, gun rights, whatever your thing is, okay? So what some so-called activists or groups have done after having a subpoena and they complied or whatever the proceedings were, what choice they made, they have helped dispel some of that fear and distrust in people associated with the same type of activities by publishing the questions asked to them by the prosecutor and giving the answers they provided. Kind of a, here's what happened to me and here's how I answered and look, I'm still out here free. Okay? Make sure, if you're going to do that, you've been through all this rigmarole and you want to publish all the proceedings as far as, to my best recollection, I hereby sign and affirm the following to be true. And you want to make it like an affidavit. Make sure that whatever route you chose, counsel or attorneys or lawyers, that you get their advice before you do that, because you could turn around and create more problems for yourself and group than you're solving whatsoever. Okay, so keep all this in mind, ladies and gentlemen. These are good, good, solid tips. Okay? Now, after this musical break, be prepared to take notes again. And again, as always, remember, you're listening to The Hour of the Time. The website, hourofthetime.com. The studio number in Arizona, 928-333-2942. The studio in Canada, 613-733-4324. And my personal email address, hourofthetime@hotmail.com. Tonight, part 7 in our series, If an Agent Comes Knocking. And tonight only special offer this Wednesday, the 30th of June, 2010, the PDF booklet that I'll email to you, Bankruptcy. Simply contact me for that this evening. All right, ladies and gentlemen, again, your host here, Doyle Shamley in Eager, Arizona, with the Hour of the Time. Tonight, Wednesday, the 30th of June, 2010. And don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, the Hour of the Time is listener-supported. Go to the website, hourofthetime.com, and then go to the Hot Shop. And there's many great ways for you to donate to our operation, at the same time receive wonderful, rare and exclusively here, solution-oriented programming, research materials from Hour of the Time, as a thank you for your donations to help us along in our operation. Now, I want you to realize, ladies and gentlemen, as we wrap up this series, that this is really just a small primer on just some of your basic rights when it concerns interactions, whether face-to-face or over a phone or through writing, with an agent of an agency of the government, okay? The idea of this was to make you think and start getting those gears turning so that you pre-plan, you prepare, and have this stuff in writing with you and your organization now to fully prepare yourself, your organization, your fellow patriots, activists, whatever you want to call yourself, to try to be fully informed and protected in the event of, guess what, if an agent comes knocking. Okay, now different states as well have different laws, so it's a good idea to learn all those laws of your particular state as well. And make sure, if you're not 100%, completely 100% comfortable and have a grasp on grand juries, subpoenas, all the ins and outs of your rights concerning interactions with an agent of an agency, or even used by corporations, these tools against you or NGOs as well, that you already have lawyers, attorneys, counsel lined up who are familiar with these, and get your group an annual briefing. No different than maybe a place of employment for you every year going over your benefits package or some safety issue or whatever. Okay? Just a good idea to make it and have it annotated and in there and on record, ladies and gentlemen. Okay. Now, I want to give you a few more tidbits to go read. Now, some of these are sometimes hard to find. They get moved a lot on government websites. So I can't tell you that right now the PDF is still at the same location. But I'm going to give you the title, for instance, of some books that you should go check out. Some of them right on the internet, some of them not, okay? Now, if you want some just general security practices, there have been some magazine-type things written on how and why activists, as they're sometimes called, should build a so-called security culture, okay? One of these is, or two, a couple of these actually, are right out of Canada. So I want to give you those. Look for your typical /, all that, after HTTP, security.resist.ca. Security.resist.ca. /personal/culture.shtml. Again, security.resist.ca, because Canada, /personal/culture.shtml. Now, this book is called Security Culture, a Handbook for Activists. Now, I want you to know the tricks of the trade, know their tools. We've given you a lot of the agency's tools, also know the inside writings of so-called activist groups that may attack you personally. Know their tools, know their lessons learned, know their advice to their own members. How can you integrate that? Then it might help you and your activities in your group trying to reaffirm and reestablish all freedoms to all peoples in a constitutional republic. Okay? Know these tricks. Know these tools. Another one, okay, a group in Canada again, is on security survival skills, okay? And they claim to be opposed to, as it's often called, police brutality, okay? And again, it's about building a, in their mind at least, in their viewpoint, building a security culture in an activist community. Now, when I say community, I'm not talking about the town you live in. I'm talking, let's say, a genre or culture out there, okay, as in community. Look here to this website for that. Why, as a question, why-war.com/files/securite, S-E-C-U-R-I-T-E, -eng-letter.pdf. You may want to go and read that as well. www.y-war.com/files/security or whatever. I'm supposing it's French or something. SECURITE-ENG, I suppose that's for English, -letter.pdf. Again, another one for you to read. Look at the ins and outs, ladies and gentlemen. Another one that people have found helpful is published by South End Press. South End Press. South End Press. Written by Brian Glick. And it's a book on the history of COINTELPRO. Okay? A history, a book history, that is, on COINTELPRO, called War at Home by Brian Glick, again published by South End Press. Now, if you want to do some really good digging, I'm sure you're going to like these. If you want to learn about telephone security, for instance, a little more in depth about telephone security, there's a mobile surveillance primer, if you will, and it's a thorough online resource about cell phone technologies, mobile communications technologies, how they can be accessed, how you can best protect the information stored in them and your conversations. Simply go to mobileactive.org, and it's the mobile surveillance primer. Mobileactive.org, that's mobileactive.org. mobileactive.org, and look for the mobile surveillance primer. You will like that one as well, I'm quite sure. Now, we mentioned, of course, national security letters. Very important you know these. There is an in-depth review of the law on national security letters and how they've been used since their inception by the U.S. Department of Justice. It is titled, A Review of the FBI's Use of National Security Letters. Again, that title. A Review of the FBI's Use of National Security Letters. And that, again, is by the U.S. Department of Justice. Go to usdoj.gov and simply search that title. Again, usdoj.gov. Uniform, Sierra, Delta, Oscar, Juliet.gov. The title again, A Review of the FBI's Use of National Security Letters. Now, there's a firm out there that has been around and done a lot of stuff, and people argue with them and don't argue with them. It's one of those, they're ardent fans of the firm, or they say, oh, they're not thorough enough. But one thing I've noticed, ladies and gentlemen, all the jurisdictional studies I've done, is that people will side with a certain methodology or mindset or crowd or community of legal research. And it always seems to be a love-hate relationship. And one little caveat in somebody's disposition of facts or research and a personal just, oh, you're worthless, you're not doing it right, blah, 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 blah. When it's one little thing, and if you know it's not right and you can prove that, then contact them. But I rarely see that go on. They just badmouth and run them into the dirt. And then other people, I've noticed in this seemingly black-white relationship with legal research firms and whatever, and legal research sites, the love them or side of things is no matter what goes on, they can't do any wrong. Ladies and gentlemen, all I can say is do your research always, okay? if they can't verify and give you some resources, then you might want to do a little more research and make sure that they're not just misleading you, because it could be just a matter of they're outright shorthanded. So they're getting a lot of information out there, and if you query them, they may say, oh yeah, you're right, I should have put this source and that source, or we've learned more since we published that 2 years ago, and here's an update, I'll email it to you. Whatever, that happens. GIS programming and surveillance of our population in America goes on all the time, and I contacted a firm based on their very sick reports that they published. They were paid to do these research reports by the government. Now, I knew some of it was wrong, but I knew that the reports were also done in 2007. I called them directly, got an answer within like 30 seconds. I mean, I got to the right department, talked to a regular human, and they're like, oh, yes, we have done updates, and we've got a lot more court cases and research into this. What's your email? We'll send it to you right now. I gave it to them, hung up, and within about 3 minutes, I had all the new reports. So sometimes it's that simple. But a firm that's been out there a while is MidnightSpecial.net. 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 They have a few books. One of them is Computer Security Trainer's Guide. And they are called, their full title of this firm is Midnight Special Law Collective. Okay? Now this book, if you get this from them, this titled again, Computer Security Trainer's Guide, is an excellent guide to developing good security habits with computers rather than software technical tricks. Okay, it's a good one. Another one that they publish is Grand Jury Trainer's Guide. It's an explanation of grand juries from the very first contact or interaction with some agent of an agency to the grand jury hearing itself. How to protect yourself, your organization, etc., and how to plan before you're ever called before one. And again, that's from Midnight Special Law Collective at MidnightSpecial.net. And it's Grand Jury Trainer's Guide. Again, Grand Jury Trainer's Guide. Now, there was a white paper written by the ACLU that you will want to go get as well. And it's called Bigger Monster, Weaker Chains. From the ACLU, Bigger Monster, Weaker Chains, The Growth of an American Surveillance Society. So that's your main title and subheading. Main title, Bigger Monster, Weaker Chains, The Growth of an American Surveillance Society by the ACLU. Now, it was a white paper they did about the recent history of surveillance cameras and other technologies. I'd suggest you get that one as well. Get all this data, ladies and gentlemen. Know the ins and outs. Know the tools or tricks of their trade. Know both sides. Know the enemy, if you will. Now, there's a interesting one available as well. Go to the Electronic Frontier Foundation. Okay, that's the Electronic Frontier Foundation. Electronic Frontier Foundation. And I would say to go look for, you're going to like it. They have a lot of online resources about how to protect yourself from all types of electronic surveillance. Now, look for one if you're worried about data that might be on your computer. Look for a couple of them that are called. One is called Data Stored on Your Computer. And another one is called Defensive Technology. So again, the titles by the Electronic Frontier Foundation is Data Stored on Your Computer. And the other title is Defensive Technology. The website SSD for Surveillance Self-Defense. That's ssd.eff.org, and that was for Electronic Frontier Foundation. So again, ssd.eff.org. Another one that you're probably going to want to look into, and I'm just giving you hints. You can do whatever. I don't care, okay? Go to the U.S. Department of Justice.gov site again. Okay? And ironically, across the top, you'll see the common law is the will of mankind issuing from the life of the people. Anyway, if you want to have fun, you're going to have a hard time finding one of the reports that I had in particular. And that was, it's in PDF, I've got it, but it's the Attorney General's Guidelines on FBI Undercover Operations. And it is the rules the FBI are supposed to follow and what undercover agents can and cannot do. Okay? And the government's rules on what informants can and cannot do. Two. Now, these change all the time. I know for a fact the link I used to get the PDF no longer works. But the titles, again, the Attorney General's Guidelines on FBI Undercover Operations. And another one is the Attorney General's Guidelines regarding the use of confidential informants. So, again, those two titles. The Attorney General's Guidelines on FBI Undercover Operations. And the other one, the Attorney General's Guidelines regarding the use of confidential informants. Now, you'll have to go to the U.S. Department of Justice.gov and just search. If you also want to have some fun, just type in Attorney General Guidelines on FBI Undercover Operations. So it's like their internal Google search, okay? Search this site, that thing. There is about 700 in there that you will have fun reading and reading and reading. But you'll see, like I say, my link is no longer good, but if you go to, for instance, the use of confidential informants, how they can and cannot be used by the FBI, you simply go to justice.gov/OIG/testimony/0509.htm. And for the Attorney General's Guidelines on FBI Undercover Operations, that's at justice.gov/OIG. And these are Office of Inspector General. That's what that means. OIG/special/0509/chapter4.htm. Again, the easiest way, USDOJ.gov. Uniform Sierra Delta Oscar Juliet.gov. And just type in Attorney General Guidelines on FBI Undercover Operations. And you'll find more reports than you'll probably want to read in the next 3 years. Okay? Testimony. Insight. Investigations that have been done, okay, into how these things have been used, done, and their very own protocols that they have to follow, or they're supposed to follow at least, and how they do it, how they're advised to do it, coercion, witch hunt, prosecution, grand jury subpoenas, whether you're complying with guidelines or not, how attorneys and yourself can review everything, okay? You're going to have a lot of fun just doing that one search on the U.S. Department of Justice's website. Now, just 1 second. I wanted to flip a couple papers here. I have one more I want to give to you before we're done for this evening, wrapping up our series on If an Agent Comes Knocking, Part 7 in our final broadcast in this series. Just a second here. Okay, here it is. I do a Google search. You'll like this because you can find a ton of information here. Dogpile search, whatever you want to do. Do an internet search. And type this in. Security practices and security culture. COINTELPRO. Now, COINTELPRO is all capitals. But again, type in on your internet search. Security practices and security culture. COINTELPRO. I want you to look at that. And I think you'll find a lot of good PDFs and research for your reading. I think you'll enjoy that. That is a good one I just remembered because it targets a few very specific ones like a security culture, a handbook for so-called activists, and also many of the corporate publications that have been done by, like, Cisco, the software programming, whatever, computer people. So if you want to do that search. It's a wonderful way to get a lot of good PDFs that you can read and study. Now, do the same search without COINTELPRO at the end, and you'll get a whole nother list, and a lot of those are, again, corporate, which is good for you to read and know. So again, another search is just security practices and security culture. Look at the Cisco offerings and whatnot and what they've done and some of the other corporations. And another one that has become quite popular is if you go to security.ngoinabox.org. That is security.ngoinabox.org. And it is a collaborative effort, if you will, between two groups, the Tactical Technology Collective and Frontline. You need to go there and get some of these books, how-to booklets, hands-on guides, security in a box, tools and tactics for your digital security. So go to security.ngoinabox.org. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you for tuning in this evening, and again, you can thank yourself for all that you've learned, and I hope you took a studious notes, tonight being the final part in our series, If an Agent Comes Knocking, tonight, part 7. 7 hours, ladies and gentlemen, in this broadcast series. Now remember, again, as always, we are solution-oriented programming to reestablish all of our freedoms for all people in our constitutional republic. Tonight, Wednesday, the 30th of June, 2010, with your host here, Doyle Shamley, in Eager, Arizona. And I hope everyone has a safe and a studious evening.